Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 5, as we're continuing our series of messages on the subject matter of the world system. You've noticed that in the first couple of weeks, we learned that the world system is an organized system headed up by Satan. It's systematized, organized, it's laid out, it's structured. We learned that the world system, the term world has in the Bible several different meanings. It can mean the inhabitants of the world. It can mean a time period, or it can mean this organized system, cosmos, which is the word we've been studying. Well, the first couple of weeks we looked at what the world system is. We looked at how lost people in the world think. They believe that somehow man, through education and technology, is going to usher in a utopian society, and the scriptures say that'll never happen. Then we learn why they have to think that way. They must think that way because they're missing a spiritual sense. We lost that back when the fall took place, and so man is left with five human senses that cause him to arrive at false conclusions in life. So that's where we are in our study this morning. We're looking down at 1 John chapter 5. We're going to go a lot deeper than we did the first couple of weeks, so sort of hang on. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says this, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world system, lies in wickedness," or the wicked one. Father, thank you again for this tremendous revelation of truth. And I would pray now that you would bless our time as we would study and give us wisdom. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular word, cosmos, is very interesting because we've mentioned that the term world in the Bible can be translated, as I just mentioned, several different ways. But the actual word cosmos itself can be translated in several different ways depending on the context. Sometimes world, cosmos, can mean the material universe. We've learned in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, it talks about He, Jesus, created the world, cosmos, meaning the universe. Not the world system, satanic, but the universe. We find sometimes where it talks about, it can mean that the people of the world, for God so loved the world system. There it means the people of the world, not the systematized, organized structure that Satan has laid out, but the people of the world. And sometimes it means believers or unbelievers. For example, it can mean unbelievers in this sense: "My peace I give unto you, not as the world system gives," that's the lost people of the world, all right? So we have to see, based on the context, how the word is being used. But I think most importantly, the way we want to look at this and study it, and the way it is most often used, has to do with the structure, the things of this world. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 15 to 17. By the way, for your interest, it is the Apostle John that uses this word more than anyone else. He uses it more than Paul uses it. He uses it in the Gospel of John, the three epistles, and in the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, listen carefully to the wording from verses 15 to 17. "Love not the world system, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Here we're talking about the things of the world, the stuff of the world. Matthew says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, world system, things of the world, and loses his soul?" Or we find over in 1 Corinthians, sometimes it uses an abstract sense. It talks about the spirit of this world. So, in this sense, in the way it's used here in 1 John chapter 2, it's dealing with the things of the world, the stuff of the world, the pride of life, all that, or the spirit of the age, the spirit of the world. But again, as you're reading, you'll often see just how the context works out. We have found who is behind this whole system. We used to walk according to the course of this world system, under the prince and the power of the world system that now runs the children of disobedience. That's Satan himself, all right? So we begin to see that there are a number of things that bear out what this world system is all about. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, It talks about the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and then it talks about the world system controlling all this. Now we've seen that the entire world lies in the wicked one over there in 1 John. Now, I want to give you a little, kind of a little heads up. We're going to go down a path here, and as we go down this path, your mind is automatically going to make some calculations. And when it does, you're going to be thinking, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Well, hopefully not. We'll find out as we finish the course, the lesson this morning. But I don't want you to race too far ahead as we move. But I don't want you to get kind of a sense as to where we are. Several things. This is not a three-point outline, but I do want to tell you something about 3 points. If you ever take a course in navigation, or maybe you have got a small boat and you're involved in terrestrial navigation, you're not navigating by the stars, but you're navigating by the land, and you've got a chart on your boat, and maybe you're in the Chesapeake Bay, and you take a bearing, a fix on a piece of property or a point of land, maybe it's Hospital Point, and you look down your chart and there it is, and it reads 090. You draw a line on your chart at 090. Then you look at the Bay Bridge, and there's a particular stanchion on the Bay Bridge that you take a fix on, and it's at 275. You draw 275. And then you see maybe the Eastern Shore point, and you get another reading, and it's at 030, and you draw that. If you've done your math right, and you've labeled everything right, those three lines should cross at one point. Notice I said should cross at one point, all right? You've navigated properly. You've done your homework correctly. That point tells you not only where you are in the Chesapeake Bay, it tells you where you are in the entire world. Of all the places around the world, here's your longitude and your latitude. You now have your reading with a three-point fix. I'm going to give you a three-point fix this morning from three verses of Scripture. One is John 18:36, where Jesus says to Pilate, listen carefully, he says this, "My kingdom is not of this world system." He doesn't say it commingles with it, that they overlap. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, talks about all the things that are in the world, and it says, all of this is not of God. He says, the world's passing away. This is not of God. The third one is the one we open with. It says, the entire world lies in wickedness, or the wicked one. When you put those three verses together, you get a three-point fix. And it tells us exactly where we are, what our situation is. It says that God has sovereignly placed us in this world system. And according to Scripture, this is hard to believe, this is why we have Revelation. According to Scripture, everything in this world is under the hand of the evil one. The military, government, big business, religion, law, commerce, money, stock market, sports, everything, according to Scripture, is under his control and under his hand. Ultimately, under the hand of God by allowing it. But still, all of this is under the prince and the power of the world system. Now your mind's racing. A little bit. Wait. I'm involved in some of this. Now what we're going to try to answer this morning is this. The title of the message is, am I advancing the world system or am I restricting its movement? We are called as salt and light as a church to restrict the growth of the world system. And at the same time, we hold jobs in the military or the government or in science or medicine or technology. And if I help improve that, am I improving the world system? We're going to find out in a moment. You're going to see there's a little bit of a dilemma here, kind of walking a fine line. And there's a very clear answer to this as we go through Scripture. So now we have an understanding of sort of where we are in light of all this. Now, there are a couple of spheres that we want to look at this morning. Sphere number one. Try to imagine this side of the stage over here is Eden. And when you're reading through Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, at the end of that chapter, after God has created the heavens and the earth, it says that God looked around after the sixth day, and it says, and everything that he had created, he said, was very good. Often referred to as the very good earth. There was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no pain, there were no tears, and there were two people. And we're going to find out something about this very good earth. There was no clothing. It says they were naked and not ashamed. There was no money. There was no commerce. There was no stock market, no military, no government, no cities, no business. There was no metallurgy, no scientific discoveries, just two people living in total bliss in Eden. The fall comes. As soon as Adam and Eve sin, and we're going to find out what they were tempted by, as soon as they sin, the stopwatch is punched, and time begins for the world system. World system begins right there. And now, as the world system is advancing and moving, here's what I want you to know. The world system is moving away from Eden, this perfect place that God said was very good. God's going to once restore us to that in the new heavens and the new earth. But the world system and the thrust and the mindset and the philosophy behind the world system is to move away from God and declare independence from Him. And the question is, am I involved in that if I'm in the military or the government? Or we touched on a little while back, but now we're going to dive a little deeper into this. Gee, suppose I'm advancing computers or medical technology. And according to what you're saying, Mike, and according to what it seems to say right here, the world system is moving away from the things of God, and I'm involved in it. Am I helping to advance it, or am I helping to restrict it? Okay, we're going to find out as we move through this. Well, I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. I think we touched on this, but I don't know that we actually read it in our opening couple of messages. Listen carefully. Here's this wonderful Eden that God said was very good. There were no cities, no homes, nothing. Microscopes, telescopes, computers, nothing. But two people living in total bliss, walking in the cool of the day with God. Genesis chapter 4. Starting in verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after his son. Oh, wow. A city is being built. We look down to verse 20. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents. Oh, tents. Housing. That's not mentioned over in Genesis 1. And such as have cattle. Oh, they're in farming and cattle. Oh, okay. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such handled the harp and the organ. Oh, musical instruments. And Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. Metallurgy. Wow. Ooh, what's happening here? Well, technology, commerce, building, trade, ranching, agriculture, all kinds of things are all of a sudden entering in. And according to Scripture, it all lies in the lap of the evil one. That's what it says. That's what it says. Musical instruments, all these things. What poor Wayne's guitar. What if this thing is in tune over here now? All microphones, all this woodwork, everything. That's what it says. Question, am I involved in promoting it or restricting it? Okay? Now I look over here at this keyboard. You know, it talks about the organ and the harp over here. This keyboard over here, I guarantee you can do more than that organ could there in Genesis 4. I'll just tell you right, you can program an entire orchestra in that. And they're getting smaller by the day. And they do all kinds of amazing things. And according to Scripture, it all lies in this system. And according to Scripture, God says, my kingdom is not of this world. But yet He's planted us right here. So how do we draw the line as far as navigating our way through it? Well, all of a sudden, we now see commerce and clothing and tents and you assume buildings and all kinds of things. Skyscrapers are eventually coming. All the stuff is coming. And there's a purpose. Eden is the perfect place. And now the world system starts and there's an advancement. And the advancement has a purpose behind it. There's a mindset behind it. And that is, we will usher in our own Eden and we can declare our independence from God. And you see this not only from Scripture, you'll see it from experience. Well, let's take a look at some things here. As we begin to see this all unfold, the world system is continuing to move further and further away in its declaring independence from God, whether it's science or medicine or whatever. And so the natural question is, you mean to tell me if I'm involved in laser research that is used to cut through the eyelid and go into the retina or whatever it does and change a person's vision from 2400 to 2020? That I'm involved in the world system? Maybe, maybe not. But you've just got finished saying that everything, all the advancement is to declare independence from God. That's what I do for a living. Am I Am I declaring independence from God? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll find out in just a minute. We've got some scripture we need to look at that gives us a very, very clear answer to this subject matter. But it's important that we understand that everything in this world is designed by the ruler of this world to declare independence from God. That's the important thing we must have in our minds. If you remember nothing, that's the most important thing to remember. Well, as we go through this, I want you to look down, if you would. We're in Genesis here, Genesis 4. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm telling you that Scripture and experience will declare this to be true and give testimony of it. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. Here's the temptation. Adam and Eve have been walking with the Lord, and along comes Satan. Yea, hath God said, and he starts tempting them. But verse 5 is the key to understanding this subject matter of declaring independence. Verse 5, Satan speaking, "For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof," that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What's the temptation? The temptation that they are tempted with is this. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say? Hey, I got news for you. You don't need him. Why don't we right now just partake of the tree? You'll have the knowledge, intellect, of knowing good and evil. And you'll be like God. So why don't you just declare your independence from him right now and saying, you don't need him. Thanks, no thanks. Take of the tree and you'll be your own God. That's the mindset of the world system from day one. It starts there, and you've heard me say so many times, the first time something is mentioned in the Bible is usually the key to understanding the mind of God on that subject. So right off the bat, Satan says, let's declare independence from God. And the next thing we see is, they have to clothe themselves. Next thing we see is, technology, cities, business, housing, all kinds of things start unfolding. And every step along the way, all the way through, there's a declaration from man to declare independence from God. And we have to ask ourselves, gee, we're placed here. What part do we play? Are we involved in this? Is this what we're involved in? Well, let me show you a passage of Scripture that I think really gives us the answer. I think it gives such a definitive answer. It's a passage that we've turned to in the past, but today we want to look at it from a little bit different standpoint. I want you to turn to the fifth book of the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, and I want you to turn to chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now listen very, very carefully to this reading. It's very, very explicit. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 10. These are warnings and exhortations from God through Moses. Verse 10 says this, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." I want you to stop for a moment. In my version, the King James here, it says, when. When addresses a time period. When you have eaten and art full. Verse 11, beware addresses the attitude of forgetfulness. And he's getting ready to list some things here. Eating, cattle, housing, he's getting ready to list this, but he says, when these things are in a certain way, beware. So I could plug in, when laser surgery is working well, beware that you forget not God. When you build a nice home, beware that you forget not God. When your computer is moving faster and you've got another modem or another dip, beware. Watch out. Watch out. Now watch what he says. Notice what he says. Go on, let's take a look at verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, put in modern day, lest when you've got a nice, better computer, faster laser, doing whatever the technology is, the medicine, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, verse 13, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. Now forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then he talks about how he led them through the wilderness to humble them, to remind them, to prove them that he's the one that's in charge. Verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth, this computer, this laser, this medical technology. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives thee the power to get the wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. From one end of the Bible to the other, God has a dividing line. God's not opposed to technology. God's not opposed to advancing technology. He's not opposed to medical research. He's not opposed to lasers that fix your eyes. He's not opposed to cancer research. He's not opposed to all kinds of things we're now doing with the heart. He's not opposed to your computer. He's not opposed, well, maybe he's composed, he doesn't like computer, I'm not sure. No, he's not opposed to any of these things. What he's opposed to is when we forget him. It's when we forget him. Romans 1, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God and turned it into a lie. Exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator. There's the dividing line. God says to the Christian, do your medical research and do it well. Build a faster computer and do it well. Beware. Don't forget me. You see, you're not advancing the kingdom of this world by being involved in technology or military or government or medical research, whatever. You're not doing that. You're only doing that if mankind gets all the praise. If we're saying, oh man, you are amazing. Mankind, you have such wisdom. We don't need God. We'll declare our independence. We're ushering in our own wonderful society. We've already learned this thing is a dead-end street. It says the world is passing away, which means that God already put, He nailed on the world, the day sin entered, condemned. Ever driven by a piece of property that was condemned? Because there was pollution there, or here's an old building that could collapse. Condemned! That's what He's got. Jesus said, this world is condemned, and so is the prince of this world. But we are saved. We're not into that condemnation. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. And so God has taken those of us that are not condemned and placed us in a situation where the world is condemned so that we, through technology, medical research, might worship Him rather than technology. And what winds up happening when we do that, it causes people within the world to turn around and look towards Eden. It causes people in the world to say, whoa, you're right. We're going nowhere fast. Nothing really is changing, actually. I'm thankful that we have the surgery, that we've got all the wonderful things. It makes life better in a cosmetic sense, as we've already said, but not in the real sense of the human heart, see? They haven't figured any technology out that can change that, and they won't. Only the gospel can do that. So, in answer to the question, am I involved in this? Well, it all depends. Now, I said that both history and Scripture bear this out. Let me give you an example of what I mean by history and Scripture. We go back, and they tell us that today is, of all time, the greatest turn on the curve regarding technological advancement and knowledge and so on. I don't know if that's true or not. I tend to doubt it. My personal opinion is probably 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, you know, Da Vinci, Kepler, Copernicus, Michelangelo, Newton. Those were the people that I think, without all the technical stuff today, really started changing the course of science and understanding the universe. And the interesting thing is that almost all of those people, almost all of them, were solid, fundamental Bible believers. Isaac Newton wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation. He wrote a very involved commentary on the book of Daniel in his spare time while he was developing Newtonian mechanics and physics. And while he was trying to figure out, now, how do those planets orbit like that? It's something working out mathematically. I think I'll come up with a different mathematics called calculus. He did that during a coffee break. Now, you're going to argue with me and say, oh, Einstein was the greatest. I'm going to tell you right now, Einstein couldn't carry Newton's bags. And I say that with all respect to Einstein and Oppenheimer and all the great scientists today, these guys weren't in the same league as this man. This guy dealt with light spectrums, and he sat there and just visualized what was taking place in the universe without any way of even checking it all out. He's proven to be right many years later with all of his math and his science, and the guy loved the Lord. And if he lived today, NASA would probably try to bring him in and say, this guy's got the greatest brain ever. We've got to have him on our team. We'll invite Sir Isaac over because we've got $50 billion this year and we need to find out how the universe began. And we're going to go out and study red shifts and all kinds of stuff, and maybe we'll be able to figure out where it all happened and how it exploded and so on. And so we'll get Isaac in here and he'll tell us, Isaac, we want to pick your brain. You know, people from time to time say to me, Mike, I want to pick your brain. I always say, slim pickings. I want to make real clear. You want to pick Newton's brain, all right? So they bring in Sir Isaac and they say, Sir Isaac, we know that you are a great man. You have incredible intelligence. You've got a 230 million IQ, which is far above even Mike Minner's. All right, okay. So he brings it in and they say to him, we're trying to figure out how the universe began. We think you can help us. And he says, oh, gentlemen, oh, of course, I'm glad you called me in. Did you know the Gideons will give you a Bible for free? And it says in the very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. End of discussion, end of expense. Save the 50 billion. Now, if you want to go out and use the billions to go out and explore the universe and talk about the greatness of God, have at it. Maybe some evolutionists would come in and say, we need you to come over to some of these fields and examine some of these bones. We know that you'll be able to figure this whole thing out and tell us how we evolved. And he would say, well, apparently you haven't heard the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. End of discussion, end of expense. No more travel. No more looking for bones. No more looking for missing links. That's why they call it the missing link, because it's missing. And it will always be missing, because it's not what happened. That's why we have divine revelation, all right? And so we see from history how people at one time believed. What do we have today? Many scientists have adopted atheism, agnosticism. Praise God, there are also many who are believers. What has happened is, through the advancement of these great men and women of the past, on their shoulders come the future generations of people that are much weaker in mind and all these areas and have forgotten God and are now saying, we've declared our independence from God. Because from day one, the advancement is designed by the world system thinking to declare independence from God. Yea, hath God said? That's where it all starts, all the way back there. And so here's what we see. We see ourselves in this particular situation. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel. Turn to Psalms, keep going to your right, you'll come to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. I want to read a little something to you. It never ends. From one end of the Bible to the other, there is the constant reference of man declaring independence from God. Here is a prince of Tyre, an ancient city. Chapter 28, verse 1 of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. It's a sort of a sarcastic statement. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into the treasuries. Ooh. By thy great wisdom and by thy commerce hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Really? Really? Verse 6. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile your brightness. They shall bring you down to the pit. And thou shalt die of the deaths of them that will slay thee in the midst of the seas. Now notice this, verse 9. Wilt thou yet say before him that slays thee, I am God? Will you look at the person that's wiping you out? I am God? Because I'm going to send those individuals. I don't like people developing technology and wisdom and things that declare their independence from me. I will deal with you, and I will deal harshly with you. And then it says, but thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slays thee. He goes on and talks about how he'll die the death. Well, the big question is, am I advancing the world system? I trust you understand, and there are two things that I kind of want to leave you with in these thoughts regarding advancing the world system. I'm advancing it if I'm declaring my independence by worshiping the technology and the mind of man. Or secondly, I will advance it when I do not realize that man only discovers truth, he doesn't invent truth. He doesn't create truth. That's another huge issue. You see, in Colossians chapter 2, it says, all wisdom and understanding belongs to God and to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He didn't say, I am a truth or one of the truths. I am the truth. Every laser beam, every computer chip that they now tell us can take take a billion bits of information and make a billion decisions in a second, less than a second. I got to tell you, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the God that can move electrons at 186,000 miles per second. That's what I'm impressed with. I'm impressed with laser surgery. I'm impressed with medical techniques. I'm impressed with all these things because it's all God's truth. And it's right smack dab in the middle of the world system. And it will either be used to glorify God or it'll be used to advance mankind's mind into thinking that he doesn't need God. And that's how that system is advanced. And God is warning people all the way from Genesis to Revelation, don't forget me. When this happens, beware. That's his point. You know, the technology today really is amazing. It's absolutely fascinating. I don't have one, but I've seen, you know, I see the people that walk out and go, boop, boop, you know, and cars start. I can't stand them. I'm walking through a lot, and all of a sudden a car next to you, boop, and I jump about 20 feet. And now they've got them so it'll start your car. Boom, you know, and we, heaven forbid, we would not want to actually get in and turn the key, you know, and it'll warm your seat, and the lights come on, and who knows what else? You know something? I think that's great. I think it really is. It's really nice. It makes things nice. I was over at somebody's house. You know, in the fireplace now, they've got a clicker. It'll turn your fireplace on. Sort of a computerized burning bush. You know, just, you know, because it says Moses looked at the bush and it wasn't consumed. These logs never burn up in these people's fireplaces today. It's amazing. And I say, God, you are good. You are good to us. We've got nice cars and we've got nice fireplace. We've got all these things. You are good. Or I can say, isn't man amazing? Isn't he amazing what he has done? It's one of the two. Or we can just simply look at it and say, every truth, everything that man discovers is still God's truth. And to God be the glory. And the only reason he wants the glory is because if we don't give him the glory, we advance the world system. God doesn't have a low self-image. He doesn't want people bowing down to him and praising him because he just, that makes him feel so good. It's because he knows that he is the essence of all truth. And any time we go astray, if for one second, we're absolutely amazed at a Newton or an Einstein because of their brilliance, God says, wait a minute, in Deuteronomy 8, he says, I gave them the ability to do that. So Newton is the type of person that would sit down and go, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Not to man, not to man's technology. Every time we give man the credit, there's an advancement of the world system. Every time we worship God, we turn back and we focus to the very good place that God eventually will bring us. We can't manufacture it. We can't get there. So, conclusion. Am I to be involved in building faster computers? I hope you are. Can I build a better laser? I hope you can. Can I make a nicer, more comfortable car and build a nicer home? Yes, you may. It doesn't say there in Deuteronomy 8, go burn your home, throw away all your money, burn up. It doesn't say that. It says, just don't forget me. Give me the glory in all of it. Because if you don't, you'll advance the world system. That's the dividing line. Now you have to decide, where are you in that? That's the whole issue. Well, what is really interesting is that man always believes somehow he's going to advance this thing. But the scriptures say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. The world passes away. And the things of the world pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. That's a defining verse. It's a wonderful verse. And so when we look at that three-point fix, we realize God has sovereignly placed you and me for such a time as this, right smack dab in the middle of the world system, to give total glory to God for every technological, medical, scientific advancement, so that it will draw people to realize this is the person we worship and serve. Some of you have the book, with all the pictures in it, that says, by chance, John McMurray, a friend of mine, John Woodall's from Bible College, and he was standing at the Grand Canyon. While he was standing at the Grand Canyon, there was another man, didn't know Adam, just came, stood right next to him, and this man said to John, isn't it amazing what evolution has done? And John looked at him and said, I was thinking something differently. Isn't it amazing what God has done? One bit of thought advances the world system. The other advances the kingdom of God, which is not part of this world system, to drive this world system away. Let's pray. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you don't know Christ, today is the day to call upon Him to save you. Today is the day to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and perhaps you've come in today and you're not aware that you can be given everlasting life. It's a free gift. Not anything you can possibly do to earn it. And you can be removed from being a part of the world system and placed into the kingdom of God, which is not part of this world. By faith in Christ, call upon Him right now to save you. Oh Lord, I've sinned and fallen short of Your glory, and I want You to save me. The Bible says He will. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll take you out of the kingdom of darkness and place you into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you're a believer, the question is, are you advancing the world system or are you restricting it and advancing the kingdom of God? I think we have an answer from the Scriptures. Father, thank You for this time in Your Word. God, I praise You so much for the revelation of Scripture that tells us things that are just so very clear. And we just look around and sometimes we just realize how blinded we are by all that is before us. And yet Your Word just reveals it and it's so clear. So, Father, we just want to thank You for all that You have done, the things that You will do. Now bless our day, our time with family and friends, and we'll give You the glory. We pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.